The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In John's Gospel, the miracles of Jesus are called signs because they reveal the true character of God. As such, they remain within the mystery of God and cannot be brought under human control. The Gospel reading. Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. So I'm going to talk to the children out in the live stream here for a few minutes. And I have here what, if I asked you what this was, you would, of course, say it's a loaf of bread, wouldn't you? But you know what? It's also, and more importantly, a sign. It's a sign of God's love and power for his people. Now, what does a sign do? We know that a sign usually points to something, right? Here in the church, we have signs which point to the sanctuary and the offices and some of the different rooms. Or you might think of a sign out on the highway which tells you how close the nearest city is from where you are. So those are signs. We just heard the story of the feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus and his disciples wanted to take a break from the work they were doing, but the crowds followed them, and they couldn't get that moment alone that they wanted. But of course, so many people needed to be fed. How were they going to do that? Well, one of the disciples knew that there happened to be a boy in the crowd who had 5 loaves of bread, like this, and 2 fish. But how were they going to feed the thousands of people that were there with that little bit of supply? Well, as John tells the story, and by the way, this is the one miracle story that's in all four of the Gospels, so we know it's an important one. Jesus took the bread and the fish, and he blessed it and distributed it among the people. And as John tells us, they all had their fill, and there were 12 baskets of leftovers. So there was certainly a bounty to feed all of those people. So this bread was a sign for the people. Now, of course, we also hear that the people slightly misunderstood the sign. They said, well, this is all about Jesus and tells us how powerful he is. But Jesus didn't want that. Jesus wanted his signs, his miracles, to point to God and the power of God and God's love, not himself. And so that's what he tried to teach the people, and that's what we want to learn when we hear the miracle stories in John. They are a sign which point to God's love for all of us, and it also encourages us to share the love of God that we receive with other people. So, bread, yes, but also a sign of God's love and care for each of us, his beloved children. Let's close with a prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for the gift of signs that point to your kingdom and the love that you have for each of us as your children. Bless us through these signs and help us to share with others. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in Jesus' name. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, years ago when we were raising our family, just about every Friday night, a little past six, you know, it'd been a long week, and neither Eileen or I felt like cooking. And so we piled into the car, and after the wheels started rolling down the driveway, one of us would ask the question, "So what are you hungry for?" A necessary question, right? Because after all, we live in a world where almost every major intersection offers a plethora of bountiful choices. Will it be Mexican or Italian? Are you up for sushi, down for Thai, or perhaps something more all-American, say burgers and fries? Now, although the options are endless, I'm sure we were like many families then and now. Despite the warnings about our health and worries over such things as trans fat and all of those, we often chose what many of us still crave, good old fast food. Why not? You find it everywhere. In fact, you know, Americans spend more on fast food than on movies, books, magazines, newspapers, and recorded music combined. That's a lot of Big Macs, isn't it? So what are you hungry for? It's a great question that goes beyond what our bodies need for fuel, beyond what you do to quench that midday craving. It's a question that goes much deeper towards the drives and the desires that we have as human beings. What accomplishments are you feasting on, hoping that it will give you that long sought after sense of fulfillment? What activity do you devour, holding out for that day when it finally makes you feel whole? What ideology are you buying, praying that it answers the questions to all of life mysteries? The list could go on. What are you hungry for? It's an important question as we begin a series of messages called The Bread of Life. In them, we'll seek to discover the differences between the foods in life that often fail us and the food from God that promises never to leave us hungry. This is important to consider because, in case you haven't noticed, we live in a world that is hungry. Hungry to feast on something more fulfilling than the ordinary fare. Many people around the world are licking their chops for an end to the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic. We're all hoping for an infrastructure stimulus package that will further jumpstart the economy and address the myriad problems facing our nation, particularly the poor. Still others are looking to the latest technology to tide them over. Now, Jesus was well acquainted with hungry people. The Gospel of John paints a picture of Jesus who, at the height of his earthly ministry, had reached a sort of a rock star status, if you will. His miracles amazed the masses, and his sermons could silence a crowd. He was the real deal, they said, and so the people followed him. In John 6, we read about Jesus and his disciples trying to find some relaxation on a hilltop, only to find a large crowd excited by the miracles that they had seen make their way toward the group. Thousands, and they were hungry for whatever it was that this rabbi would do next. Sensing both a logistical nightmare and the opportunity to send an unmistakable message, Jesus engaged in what would be his most magnificent miracle yet. Taking 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, Jesus said to the disciples, "Make the people sit down." He took the supplies, gave thanks, and then offered it to those masses. And to the surprise of all but the Savior himself, it lasted. That simple and insignificant little meal more than satisfied the hunger of the thousands of Jesus' biggest fans. When we study this story, it's tempting to see Jesus, who can walk on water, heal the sick, raise the dead, and apparently calm not only the seas but my grumbling stomach. We want to see him the same way the crowd did. The temptation is to see a Savior who's here to simply meet your needs and make your troubles melt away. In fact, John tells us the people were so moved by the miracle that they wanted to put a crown on Jesus and anoint him as their earthly king right then and there. Perhaps they were thinking, hey, this guy has power. Life will be one nonstop buffet of blessing. And if we're honest with ourselves, we might admit that many of us first approach Jesus with that same attitude. Our lives are filled with cravings for things such as financial security, physical well-being, or peaceful relationships. We enlist the help of folks like Dr. Phil and Oprah. We devour the latest self-help book, hoping it will provide the healing we hunger for. You know, even the way many of us shop for our actual food offers a metaphor for our search for satisfaction. Warehouse stores like Sam's Club and Costco allow shoppers to load up on life's necessities in bulk at bargain prices, working on the idea that life is better when you can buy more. Many of us shop for fulfillment like we shop for groceries. We walk through life loading our cart full of stuff that we hope will cure our cravings for the picture-perfect family, or if you're like me, a comfortable retirement and a long and healthy life. At some point, after hearing rumors of his power and talk of his miracles, we might make our way to Jesus. We throw him into our cart too, hoping that he will meet all our earthly needs. Bono, the frontman for the rock band U2 and a professed Christian, sums up our search for temporal deliverance in these hit lyrics. I have climbed the highest mountain. I have run through the fields. I have run. I have crawled. I have scaled these city walls. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. John tells us that Jesus sensed the crowd's desire to anoint him as their king. This forced him to retreat until the masses made their way home. What Jesus knew was that while the people marveled at his miracles, they misunderstood the message. You see, Jesus didn't come to help people get what they want. He came to be what we want. He didn't come to be a sort of short-order savior, there to simply crank out what we want, whatever it is that will satisfy our needs. He came to be the food that we feast on. This, in fact, summarizes the message of this lengthy chapter 6 in John's Gospel, all of which begs the question once again, what are you hungry for? If you're looking for a Jesus who will fatten your 401k, guarantee a cure for cancer, offer you 10 easy steps to a perfect family, land you a great job, or restore all your broken relationships, then I'm sorry to tell you, you've got the wrong Jesus. There is help for such things, and indeed the Scripture offers plenty of guidance, but Jesus himself has different things to tend to. You see, Jesus didn't come to perfect your life. He came to lay down his life and take it back up again. As he said later in John, his death and resurrection then are a meal that sustains our souls, bringing wholeness, healing, and growth. When we come to Jesus and for Jesus, we receive Jesus. When our souls are fed and filled by the work of Jesus, we still may go through seasons of illness or unemployment or even a lack of food. But one thing we will never be is empty. So one last time, what are you hungry for? It's a great question that goes beyond what you do to quench that midday craving. It's a question that speaks to much deeper desires. My friends, may we feast on the food that offers true sustenance for our souls and thus be equipped to share that food with others, which is what our refocusing helped us learn about and what Project Thrive will enable us to further. May we follow Jesus not so that he can meet our needs, but rather knowing that he is all we need. In the words of the prophet Isaiah, why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest fare. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Now I invite you to stand together and we'll sing our hymn of the day.